ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Innumerable. It's more than you can number. How many apostolics are living in this world today, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name? One God apostolics. I don't know, but there's enough angels to go around. Innumerable angels. The prophet said there's more for us than there are against us. It doesn't matter what the devil brings against you or how many imps he brings against you and how much turmoil he tries to throw in your path. There's more with God than what the devil's throwing against you. Realize who you are in the Lord, not to the glory of the flesh, but in thanksgiving and humble appreciation, but in faith that you're God's child. Next verse. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. This is where we are gathered tonight. Reading on. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than of Abel. The next verse. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. This word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have peace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for your will. And I pray that you would reach out and touch our hearts tonight. Grant us understanding and realization. And God, it's written in your word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I pray, Lord, that you would grant faith to that one or those that need it. And let us walk in that faith. Give us victory in Jesus' name. And can you say amen? Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Praise God. Oh, wow. God bless you. You may be seated. This is something that we're involved in. It's more than just going to the church for a time of gathering on Sunday and on Wednesday and family prayer on Saturday. It's more than just even being involved maybe in another time of a Bible study in the week with winning some souls to the Lord. It's an everyday walk. It's an everyday experience. And it's an everyday being close to Jesus, even when you're not thinking about it, that he is right there. I had a dream. The Lord gave me a dream. I was evangelizing some years ago. And I was having difficulty in my stomach area. I had been taking some medicine. The doctor gave me, I got into this AFib stuff, so the doctor gave me some medicine to help control it. This has been a long time ago, doctor. It wasn't this doctor. And so I was wondering about the side effects, you know, and to ask him, well, something, you know, about the stomach. Well, I just cast that off because my stomach was in good shape. Well, sure enough, lo and behold, in time, it took some time, but in time, it started affecting me. I got to where I could not eat salads. I couldn't eat nuts. I would get reaction. It would cause my muscles somewhere to go into contractions. If you put your hand on my chest, you could feel it. It was horrible. It was terrible. And there was a sister that in my dad's church at the time that she would hear from God at times. She told me, God's going to heal your stomach. I don't know when. I suffered with that thing for I don't know how long, a few years. I was in California. I was traveling where I was supposed to be for the weekend. I wasn't going to make it, or I didn't drive all the way to make it that particular day. I spent the night in my motorhome in the parking lot of a church where I had ministered, and the pastor took me with him to a Bible study. God moved in that Bible study. We had at least one receive the Holy Ghost, but they were Indian people from, I think, Indian. They were somehow a rental, you know, and they served this stuff with what's that hot little sauce they put on stuff? What is it? Say it loud. No, it wasn't Tabasco. Tabasco won't compare. It's a pepper. It's from a pepper, I think, from the East. No. It's a sauce that kind of they make. Curry. It was curry. I want to tell you what. My stomach was not prepared for that curry. And I didn't tell the pastor, but I was in misery. God worked in spite of my misery. Filled somebody with the Holy Ghost. The pastor looked at me and talked about, it's like just seeing the glory of the Lord in my face, or however he said it, but I didn't feel it. Or that's not what I was feeling strongly. I didn't tell him. Oh, it was so miserable. And I'm in my motorhome that night dealing with this. And in my sleep, God gave me a vision in the night. It was in different segments. He showed me. I was walking in the basement of an old castle, huge stones. I wasn't the only one there, and I knew I was part of a kingdom that was not part of the kingdom of the land. And then God showed me other things. He showed me ministering. It's just a number of scenes. And then there was one that I saw that I could see myself going through this tunnel. And in this tunnel, there were huge rocks. I could see sweat on my face. It was like I was up, could see down from the ground level. And I was struggling through this tunnel. And it was hard, but there was an end to this tunnel. And there at the end, there were a couple of, to me, what I think were angel figures standing. There was one that was waiting for me, but he wasn't all that concerned about me. His attention was something over there he was looking at. And I couldn't see it, but out of the side of my eye, I could see the glow of the light from whatever that was over there. And he was just waiting for me to get to the end of the tunnel. And there I was, suffering, and it was miserable. And when God healed me of that, he healed me of that in Springfield. Suddenly, we went to eat at a steakhouse, and I could eat. It was just a sudden healing. I could eat salad, and it tasted so good. Oh, I remember it. I got me a little keg of these nuts you can buy, you know. I don't know how long it took me, but I ate the whole thing and went and got me another one. God healed my stomach. Wow. Wow. If God can do that, he can do some other things. If God could heal me, he can heal others. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I was preaching in a place in Missouri, and service was just about over. I was standing there at the front. I think we'd been in an altar service, and that was maybe closed or over, you know, people not around, standing around the altar. And here comes a man. He's walking up with a sling, and his arm is in a sling, his right arm. And he tells me, there's a pen that has come loose. Well, how do you pray for a pen? But I knew God had made iron swim in the Old Testament. So I prayed and put it in God's hand. I said something to him after praying, and I don't remember what I said, but I remember what he said. He reached his hand up. He felt that. He said, "It's not loose." Before service over, he's walking around swinging his arm or with his arm out of the sling. I think it was on a Saturday night. Sunday morning, he came to church, didn't even have his sling. I didn't realize, but he was scheduled for an MRI on Monday morning. Later on, the pastor told me he went in for that MRI, and the doctors wanted to go in and see what was going on because they'd never seen anything like it. That pin had something interlaced around it like you'd lace your fingers together, holding it in place. He told his doctor about being prayed for, and the doctor agreed it was a God thing. He'd never seen anything like that. Now, before we prayed, there's a pin that evidently he's had surgery before, and it's loose. It's giving him trouble. After we prayed, between the time where we started to pray and then after we prayed, maybe it was from the time at least he told me about it, God just wove that thing, whatever it was, together and held it in place. And when the pastor told me that story, it just blew my mind a bit. It's like, if God can do that, hallelujah. But the devil doesn't like you to know that. And the devil doesn't like you to experience that God working in your life. He doesn't want you to hear about it. He doesn't want you to experience it. He can't stand what God's doing. But that God that did that miracle, that service, is here tonight. And he can do anything in his will. It doesn't matter what it is. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You need to realize where you are living. You're not come to just a company of people that are in defeat. You're not come to a church that has no power, the living church of the living God. You're not come to an experience that's going to drop you in a bucket and bury you dead. No life with God. You come to a place where life really lives. You come to an illumination and a revelation of something that reaches further than just here, and you don't see what's surrounding you right now. If we could see the glory of God, it would have in our eyes be able to see it. We could see in this service, we could see colors we've never seen before, and it's surrounding us. If we could hear the voice of the Spirit, and we need to hear the voice of the Spirit at times, it would bring to us messages of power, messages of encouragement, messages of love, messages of peace. Hallelujah. And that's where you are. You're in that presence. That's what God is doing for you. He's put you there. My title tonight, it may not look like it, but and what I've said already, but it's this is the day. I want to go now to the book of Psalms, brother, and I'd like to read the verses there. In Psalms 118, beginning with verse 19, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord." Now, I don't know how much of this actually happened and how it all happened. But it seems way back there somewhere, there were angelic hosts, and there were some captains, maybe you could call them. There were archangels, three archangels, each one having maybe their group that they worked with. One was Gabriel, and one was Michael, and then one was Lucifer. But at that time, the word Lucifer didn't have connotations of unrighteousness and evil. There's a glimmer that the Bible gives us in one of the prophets that if this is the way it happened, Lucifer was an angel of praise and an angel of beautiful sound and beautiful colors in his raiment. Somewhere, though, he let pride get in him, and it ruined him. It was so powerful, and he was so persuasive, and he still tries to be very persuasive. He still tries to put himself as an angel of light to people, but he was so persuasive that a third of the angels decided to go with him because he wanted to be on God's level. There is nobody else on God's level. Not today, not ever, not ever will be. But he wanted to be up there on God's level, and this pride and this zeal in an error cost him his light. And he was cast out, and those that were with him were cast out. But if it is true that he was an angel that was leading praise and worship and songs to God, then that part of the angelic host that were involved, some of them at least, now there's still angels singing because they did at Jesus' birth, but somehow there was a portion maybe that didn't fulfill what God had first put into order. And so God, now I'm talking about stuff I don't fully know all about, but it may be that God in his thinking began to plan that he was going to bring, right in spite of the devil and in front of him, he was going to bring a host of worship and praise and love and power and life and loyalty and faithfulness, and he was going to bring it. God who brings things out of nothing and make them appear. The God that creates things that they were not there. It's not taking some metal and working with it and forming something. It's not taking some wood and sawing it and measuring it and nailing it. It's taking something and it's not there. And God brings it out of nothing into the there. And so God's going to bring something, and he's going to bring it from what is going to be the dust of the earth, from the very lowest. And out of it, he's going to bring glory and life and joy and peace and an everlasting day. And you are part of that right now. God's doing that right now. And he's using you to be part of what he is doing and creating an everlasting day where there's joy and peace, no more sighing. Besides tears and pain and all of that, no more sighing even. Whew, hallelujah. And you're involved in God's working and God's plan. And the devil doesn't want you to know it. He doesn't want you to realize it. And he doesn't want you to have the faith of it. He wants you to go around believing, I can't get over this. Believing, I can't do this. Believing, I can't have this victory. He is a liar. We may not can do some things in ourselves, but we're not by ourselves in this. We have a God that's creating things that didn't exist. You just look at yourself. God's creating things that were not there in your life. Hallelujah. Let me read on. This gate. Now he talks about the gates of righteousness. I will go into them. I'm going to praise. What's he doing? God's bringing into existence the praise portion of the kingdom. He's bringing it back. We're going to be like the angels, and we're going to praise and glorify. Then, years ago, I was out in California, an evangelist. This has been, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago now. But somebody told me about a preacher that this had happened years before that. There was a preacher that died. I don't remember just how long he was dead, but he came back to life. And he told where he had been, what he had seen. He was in a place where people were worshiping. I don't know if it was something that at that moment when he was there, did it agree with the time of his life, or if it was something God was putting him there in the future. But he was in a place where he saw these people worshiping. They lift their sick hands, say hallelujah. They were robed in white garments. And he recognized somebody that was in that group. He had preached a funeral sometime before that of an elderly lady. And she was in that group, and he recognized, and she recognized him. She nodded to him. But she wasn't old. She was in the prime of life. God's going to take away the tears. They're not going to be any wheelchairs in heaven. There's not any need of them. You're not old and decrepit anymore. You're part of this right now. I mean, right now, it's living in you. We haven't received it all yet, but The earnest of it is here. Whew, hallelujah. Oh, glory. And he was told, go back and tell my people it's real. And he came back to life and he told what he had seen. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Reading on, he said, I will praise thee. Hold on here. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. That's what God's called me to do, one thing. And so I need to fulfill my calling. I'm going into a gate. When we enter into the presence of the Lord, we have come through the gate into his presence and we praise him. And he gets involved. You can't praise him in spirit and in truth and God not get involved with it. Can you just imagine what it's like that when you really feel the Holy Ghost and you begin to dancing in the Spirit, that the Holy Ghost is dancing with you? Wow. He's let us be part of this. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. And then he says, this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. This gate. It says in the New Testament, Jesus is the door. There's no other way to go in except going through the door. Everything else is a thief and a robber that tries to get in. Or that would try to, you can't get in without going through Jesus. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is above all, through all, in you all. There is one gate to heaven. We don't need to have a wrong attitude about others that have got a little bit of armament over here and untruth and a little bit of mixture of over here, and they've mixed it all together and they still believe that there was a Christ and there are people sincere in that God loves, and they're on their way if they'll just keep following the Spirit and let it lead them into full truth. There are people that have a lot of faith, don't have a lot of truth, that God in his goodness and mercy, he answers their faith. This gate. And then he goes on. I will praise thee. And he calls this gate thee. If I can bring it in like this. I will praise thee. For thou hast hurt me and art become. This gate became my salvation. There's an interesting word about, an interesting something about this word salvation. If this is the same word that's in over in the book of Isaiah chapter 12 that talks about salvation. Thou art become my, this is the closest, this word salvation back in the Hebrew is the closest that you can get to the name Jesus in the Old Testament. This is the closest it got to, because this is Jehovah salvation. And the name Jesus is Jehovah salvation. It's if it's not Jehovah salvation, it's something that's very close, that if you just move a step further into it being a name, it would be Jesus. I will praise thee, gate of the Lord, for thou hast heard me and art become my Jesus. Hallelujah. There are so many hidden things in the Scripture. We'll never get to it all down here. We'll never, it's too deep, it's too much. But he lets us have a portion. We see through a glass darkly, we know in part. But there's going to come a time that it's going to be further revealed on the other side. He said, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. And then he nails it. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. Way back before Genesis 1, God formulated a plan. It's the Lord's doing. And what God was going to do, he did line upon line, here a little and there a little. Precept upon precept. Precept, he did it. Revelation at the time. Prophet after prophet. And finally it came to the very Word came and robed himself in flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. He looked like the Son of God. But he was really the Word manifested in flesh. And he still is the Word. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. What are you doing, Lord? I am creating a day like no other day. I want to go to Genesis chapter 1 now. I don't see a clock. Yeah, I do. I don't know what time I'm supposed to get through. Brother Pugh one time was up speaking, and his time, he realized his time was up. He just closed the Bible and said, I'm through. I'm done. I can do that, but I'm not through. I want you to realize tonight, somehow carry home with you the understanding of the concept that you're God's child, and God has invested something of himself in you, and the devil is not powerful enough to defeat that if you let it be what God wants it to be. That you are victorious. It's planned by God, and God has already placed it in you, regardless of what the devil brings against you, that what God has put in you is more powerful than everything that he can bring against you, because you're God's man. You're God's woman. Hallelujah. You're God's youth. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. I want to stop right there. There are some things you can't fully give it justice when you translate it into another language. You know, we really have rain sometimes in Texas, and maybe you do around here where, I mean, it's just pouring. Did you ever hear the expression here, it's raining cats and dogs? How many of those dogs did you see? Now, tell somebody in a foreign language it was raining cats and dogs, and let them understand what you're really saying. It doesn't make sense. There's some things that it's difficult. Sister Fern Sism told, I want to tell this. We're doing that for me. And I can just think, came to mind, but Sister Fern Sism told about Billy Graham going to India to speak. And he said, I'm tickled to death to be here tonight. But that won't interpret. Interpreter tried. He said, I'm so happy to be here tonight that I scratched myself till I died. That's as close as he could get. We're looking at a word now that in the English it doesn't do justice to it. And the Spirit of God and the word is like, it's the sense of like a hen that's setting upon a nest. A hen that's giving her warmth to bring life into existence more. A hen that has something in her that God put in her she's just moved to do this work that's going to produce these little chicks. And God had a plan of what he was going to do and the church that he was going to bring into existence and the body that was going to be, in a sense, his body on this earth, that he was going to take to heaven as a bride. And all of this plan now is within him, and he's so excited about it, and he is so moved by this plan that's working in him, that as he moves, he's moving with purpose, and it's so powerful that as it moves in him, it bursts out in words, let there be light. And that was so powerful. That's something that was in him that he was producing, that he was bringing into the beginning of it. What he was going to build had to have light. And the light that shineth in darkness is a type and a shadow of the light that came to you when God opened your understanding to repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. When God revealed himself to you and called you and light started shining in the spiritual part of you, and the darkness could not hinder it. It says it in John 1, the darkness comprehended it not. What does that mean? In the beginning, God saw the light that it was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And when the light came in Christ upon earth, the darkness could not handle it and still cannot handle it. And there was light. Now, there are things that in Genesis chapter 1 that God shows. It's kind of like beginning a speech, and in the first paragraph, you get a little bit of an introduction to what it's about. And so we can look in Genesis chapter 1, and we can see things that God is doing throughout from Genesis to Revelation. And one thing is, he separates things. He separated the light from the darkness. And he separates things in people's lives. And when you come to God, you don't keep doing what you were doing. You don't keep going where you were going. You don't keep acting like you did act. Not if you walk in the light, because God separates the darkness from the light. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting just a deeper appreciation of where you are in this kingdom of God. Hallelujah. When the devil comes against you next time, let him know. Get behind me, Satan. I'm God's child. I have the name. I have the blood. And so God didn't start with the finished product. He started with the non-product. He started where there wasn't any light, because the Bible says the evening and the morning. Now, today, Wednesday, for us, is almost through. Well, it's a good portion through. It's going to change at 1 second past 12 o'clock, if I've got it right. It's either 12 o'clock or 1 second past. And then it's going to become Thursday. But not in the Jewish day, because the Jewish day begins at sundown. At sundown, it was Tuesday already, so we're in Tuesday. I'm sorry, Thursday. I'm backing up. We're in Thursday already in the Jewish day. God begins with the darkness and brings light into existence. God begins with the evil and the sin and the heartache and the brokenness, and he brings it into cleansing and purity and love and rejoicing and hope. God begins with the darkness. Did he not do that in your life? Did he not bring you out of some things? Is he not still working to bring you further if you need to be? The evening and the morning were the first day. And then you go on, and God separates the land from the water. That's God. He separates things. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And then it goes on, and God, that separation still works some. The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning, the second day. The third day, the fourth day, the fifth day. And now we come to the sixth day, and in the sixth day, God created man. Remember, God's got a plan, and in his creation, he brings prototypes, and he brings types and shadows showing what's going to come. The law under Moses and the tabernacle plan shows some things that were coming in the new church age, and now we're living not under the law in the Old Testament tabernacle plan. We're living under the law in the spiritual tabernacle plan. We're in the church of the living God. And step by step, we're getting closer and closer to what God's doing. He's creating a day. So he stooped down and he fashioned something that was a mirror of himself. If you'd like to know what Adam looked like, look at Jesus Christ. Because according to the Bible, Jesus is that body, that Christ is the image of the invisible God. And he said, we're going to make it like us. There is a plural of majesty. We're going to make it like us. And so God formed a body that had no breath and no life. The brain wasn't thinking. The eyes weren't twinkling. The ears weren't hearing. The hands weren't twitching. The heart wasn't beating. There was a body there. There was an image. There was a form. He created out of the dirt and made it. Remember, God makes things out of nothing. And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the brain started clicking, and the eyes started seeing, and the ears started hearing, and the mouth was able to speak, because God put a language there. And he walked with God and talked with God. But God wanted him to have a bride, so God put him to sleep. Remember, this is a prototype. There's coming a time there's going to be the Son of God in his creation, where the Spirit of God overshadows Mary, and there is created a human body that is male, in whom is the Spirit of the living God. And the Spirit of life was breathed into this man. And so God made him a bride. God put him to sleep. From his side, God took a rib. I've understood that the blood comes from the marrow of the bone. So God took life from that man. And with that life, God created a bride. And God joined them together. And so this day that God's creating, it's step by step by step. Thousands of years later, there was this man, Christ Jesus. But God wanted a bride. And so God put him to sleep on the cross. And from his side, God took blood. And with the blood, God purchased the bride. And then God woke him up. He was God manifested in flesh. He talked about God sending the Holy Ghost. He talked about him sending the Holy Ghost. He was really God. On the day of Pentecost, there were people that they lived in this world, in the natural, but there was a step they hadn't reached to yet, until there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, and they were all filled. The Spirit breathed into them. Hallelujah. What's God doing? He's creating a day where he's going to have a bride. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. First, second, third, fourth, fifth. I'm going to come to a close. But not on the seventh day. It didn't say anything about the evening and the morning. It said on the seventh day, God rested. What's God doing? There's coming a day that there is no night. There's coming a day that does not end. There's coming a day of rest. There's coming a day when it's all finished. It's not that God's tired on that seventh day. It's completed. There's coming a day that what God is doing is completing, and we're on the way to that day. And this is the day already working in our life that we're coming to. We're not there yet, but we're tasting of it, because the Bible says, I got a little more I need to give you. There's a passage in the book of Isaiah that says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, that he would speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. And so when God gave Moses the plan, he also gave him the commandment for them. Keep that seventh day. It's the Sabbath. Keep it as a day of rest, because God hallowed that seventh day. There's something about that seventh day that means something to God. That day when everything is completed. That day when it's rest. When that day when there's nothing else has to be done. It's all finished. And it is very good. So there's a day coming. And so they started keeping the Sabbath every seventh day. Not realizing probably that they're prophetically showing in their time. There's a day of rest coming. There's a day of rest coming. Because God's interested in that seventh day. There's a day coming. There's a day coming. There's a day coming. And then over in the book of Isaiah, he steps it up a little higher. To whom he said, this is the rest. And so on the day of Pentecost, they were filled. The Holy Ghost began to speak in tongues. And prophetically it's saying, God is creating a day of rest. This is the day the Lord hath made. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, rejoicing in the Lord. And then in the New Testament, the writer says, this is the earnest of our inheritance. This experience of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues is the earnest. What is the earnest? It's a little down payment on what the whole thing costs. So the Holy Ghost experience when you're worshiping God and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues, praising God, maybe leaping up and down, dancing, whatever, and you're not only just feeling it inside, I mean, it's like you are in, you're whammed with it. It's like it's just pouring over you. It's surrounding you. And what's going on? You're tasting. You want to know what it's like over in heaven? You're tasting just a tiny bit, because it's only the earnest. You're tasting a tiny bit of that eternal day. God lets us taste of heaven. But there's coming a day when there'll be no more night. It's an eternal day of rest with the Lord. He didn't bring you into his church where you were going to struggle and not be able to make it. He gave you his name. It's the name of the Father. It's the name of the one that sits on the throne. It's Jesus. He gave you his name. When you were baptized in Jesus' name, you were covered by that water. None of this sprinkling stuff. You need to be buried in the name. You were covered with the name. You come out of that water, you've either received already or received then, or at some time the Holy Ghost began to speak in tongues. He gave you his spirit. He gave you in that experience the blood. So he gave you his name. He gave you his blood. He gave you his spirit. The devil couldn't handle it when he was on the earth. And the devil can't handle it when he's in you. Not only that, he gave you his word. And so now then, when the devil sees you coming out of that body of water, you're covered by the name of Jesus. You just put on a green beret, friend. You may not realize, you feel good. I remember when I got the Holy Ghost, I loved everybody. It does that to you, you know. Oh, I was happy. I was so full of faith. I knew what had happened. I'd heard myself. I couldn't understand what I was saying. God did it. And then the devil came along. And I didn't know at first what was happening. I was just a teenager, and I had this awful feeling come over me that I didn't receive the Holy Ghost. I knew I'd received the Holy Ghost. I said something to my dad, and he said something, and in answer to him, I said, yes, I believe I did. And instantly, now how could a 13-year-old boy know this if God didn't reveal it to him? Instantly, I knew what had happened. I knew the devil had lied to me, and it just like that cloud just fizzled. Spoke those words in faith, God sent the devil away. Something did. God's put himself, some of himself, in everyone that's here, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in his name, living for God. This is the day the Lord hath made. God did this, and God is making a day for you. And don't you go out defeated, and don't you face the next week and next year, however long God gives you, defeated, because you're God's child of victory. You're God's child of promise. You're God's child of power. Oh, you're God's child of liberty. He gave you power over the scorpions, the demons. Let's stand together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.